Talk Live. We're kicking off Hour 2, the Friday edition. You can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything there is totally free. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Still to come, we're going to talk about the police state expanding, ever expanding and intruding into your life even further, how they're going to be tagging you at airports now soon. We'll give you those details. But first, an update from the We the People organization. We haven't talked about these guys in a while.
No, it's been a little while.
GiveMeLiberty.org. They sent out an email update recently, cluing us in as to what has been going on with their case. Just to sort of recap for you what these people have been up to, there's a class action lawsuit that has been filed by the We the People organization. And I might get a few of these details a little bit wrong, but as I recall it, they have filed this lawsuit because they tried to petition the government for redress of grievances. Now, if you review the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, it absolutely guarantees the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances, right there at the end of Amendment 1.
Yeah, that's one of the 5 points.
So what they had done was, and this has been going on for years, this whole process. A couple years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago, they had been sending messages to the IRS, messages to the Treasury Department, different departments, just asking questions, asking a set of questions that they would like to have had an answer to. For instance, with the IRS, it's, you know, is this income tax voluntary, and a series of other questions like that. Then the IRS never responded, and nor did anyone else. So what they did
was
they set up an event. They created an event. I believe it took place at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. It's kind of a good place to have a big event. And they invited people from all over the country to come there. And what they had done was they had gone to all 435 representatives, senators and representatives, and other people as well in Washington, D.C., bureaucrats, elected officials, that sort of thing. And they had delivered their set of questions that they'd been trying to get answered. They had some questions about Iraq as well and a variety of other it wasn't all about taxes. And they took all these questions to these different representatives and said, well, we're petitioning you for a redress of grievances. We would like for you to redress our grievances and come to this event on this particular day at this time. And you don't have to come yourself. Send a representative. I mean, these senators are busy guys, right? So they've got these aides, congressional
aides.
They've got staff members that they have do things for them. So just send somebody. Send somebody to redress these grievances and answer these questions. Seems like a reasonable request, right? I mean, if this is a government of, by, and for the people, and they really are our servants, as they're supposed to be, shouldn't they answer a few questions?
It's the Bill of Rights. That's what gives them power.
So they submitted these questions to these elected representatives and gave them plenty of notice. It wasn't like they said, oh, come out tomorrow. They had plenty of notice to appear at this event.
So how many showed up?
None. Nobody showed up to answer the very simple questions that these individuals had been searching for answers for years. And so they finally decided, well, obviously nobody around here wants to actually answer these questions on a voluntary basis. We're going to have to take this to court to find out if there really is a right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Because apparently this has actually been something that has never in the history of the United States come in front of any court. No court has ever ruled on that section of Amendment 1. So they began this process of going through the courts, and at this point, according to their update here, GiveMeLiberty.org, as we've reported, our landmark lawsuit for a declaration of the rights of the people under the petition clause of the First Amendment has, after 2 years, reached the United States Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. The matter was fully briefed by May 2006. In its response brief to the court, the government argued, first and foremost, that because the government did not waive its sovereign immunity, that the court had no jurisdiction to hear our case. In our reply brief, we argue that sovereign immunity was a myth, and that could certainly not apply to constitutional questions such as ours.
I would think not. I mean, who's supposed to be ruling on these issues? That's ridiculous. The government can just say we're going to violate the rules that we that put us into existence, and you can't tell us one way or the other.
That's right. You can't take us to court because we have sovereign immunity, is what they're saying. That was their argument. I want to give you the details from the court case here as to what happened. Because it's actually, it seems to be that this is good news, the way this played out in court. But, I mean, it is really just outrageous that you can't even get answers from these people. They demand, at the point of guns, that we follow their laws. They claim that ignorance of the law is no excuse. But yet when you ask for clarification as to what the law says, as to what the law means,
well, this is
they won't answer.
This is the supreme law, and they're violating it.
The Constitution.
Yes.
Yeah. Oral arguments took place last Friday, October 6th, at the United States Courts of Appeals in Washington, D.C. On the bench were Chief Judge Ginsburg and Chief Circuit Judges Rogers and Kavanaugh. Mark Lane argued for the people. Department of Justice Attorney Carol Barthel argued for the government. It should be noted that as a first impression case, this was the first time in history that oral argument regarding the constitutional meaning of the right to petition was formally heard by any court in America. Although Mark Lane, that was their lawyer, did a respectable job in establishing that the doctrine of sovereign immunity could not be invoked by the government where constitutional torts were at controversy, because the Constitution is far and above sovereign immunity and any of their other silly claims, the government's attorney, Ms. Barthel, didn't fare so well. Much to the dismay of the court, the U.S. attorney Barthel kept insisting that this was a tax case, not a constitutional controversy, even after Judge Ginsburg reminded her that the question before the court was whether the people were entitled under the petition clause of the Constitution to a response to their petitions. When this is finally decided, Mark, it's going to be a landmark case as to whether or not there's even a response that the people are entitled to. That's the question they're trying to ask, and the government continues to try to throw as many roadblocks in front of making this decision happen.
Either way, we win. Because if they say that, well, the government doesn't have to redress grievances, mm-hmm. that whole part of the First Amendment, it just doesn't exist.
How's that a win?
Because
they're showing themselves.
It's clearly showing their hand. We don't care what you people say anymore.
Right.
By the people, for the people, my butt.
We're a violent group of thugs doing whatever we want.
Right. Or if they say yes, then it should be interesting to see what direction it goes.
Yeah.
And then the Congress having to redress their grievances.
Right, that would be interesting. Well, anyway, here's the rest about Barthel, the U.S. attorney. And there were also questions before the court related to the war and privacy clauses of the Constitution. She went as far as to claim that it was a tax case because the Department of Justice assigned it to its tax division. So, because some bureaucrat made a decree, therefore this is a tax case.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. In addition, Ms. Barthel advanced an argument not previously raised by the Department of Justice. She repeatedly insisted that the right to petition lawsuit was non-justiciable because it was brought against the government and that we had failed to name a specific agency. She kept arguing this even after the judge, reading from our complaint, said the defendants included the Treasury Department, IRS, Department of Justice, and the United States. In the end, after significant questioning from the court, Ms. Barthel seemed to concede that if constitutional courts torts are in question, sovereign immunity couldn't prevent the government from being sued. It's impossible to know how the court will decide this matter. However, based on our reasoned analysis of the appellate pleadings thus far and the proceedings, including oral arguments, they now speculate as to what they may expect. First, we believe the court will issue an explicit finding that the defense of sovereign immunity is no jurisdictional bar to suits asserting constitutional claims. We believe we have established this fundamental constitutional principle beyond question in this case, and that only such an explicit finding will adequately deter the Justice Department from renewing that defense in the future. And they go on to make a few more predictions, but I think at this point it's kind of silly to predict. We're going to wait and see, at least as far as I'm concerned, as far as our reporting on this. I'm going to wait and see what happens in this case. But it's sounding like it may be positive, considering that the U.S. attorney in this case sort of conceded in front of the court.
It seems like it to me. I think that it sounds very good.
It does, but it just shows that these guys are willing to throw as many blocks in the road as they possibly can. And thank goodness the We the People organization is pushing through. By the way, at the end of this very lengthy, detailed article, which we are not going to get into, but it's at givemeliberty.org, they are asking for contributions. Apparently they're running out of cash, and they've gone so far. If you want to help them out, it probably would be a good idea. GiveMeLiberty.org is their website. We're Free Talk Live. More on the way, including the details on how they might be tagging you at airports sometime soon. It's Free Talk Live.
It's a combination of the best that public broadcasting has to offer
and NFL football.
We should pass a law mandating a cooling-off period after the next 9/11 type attack. We know we're going to get hit again, and we know we're going to freak out and pass Patriot Act 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then we're going to feel bad that we acted in the heat of the moment.
Beating the ideas into the turf until something breaks. Common Sense with Dan Carlin.
Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, folks. Jack Brownrigg from Midas Resources, the real money folks. Let's review a few things from the past year, November 2003 to November 2004. The Dow has ranged from 9,800 to 10,300, a 5% increase. The dollar's value has dropped from 96 cents to 70 cents against the euro, a 24% decrease in spending power against the gold-backed euro. Gold has gone from the 390s to the 440s, a 16% increase in real money. Precious metals are the safe haven in today's hectic marketplace. To learn how to protect your shrinking dollar, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. Remember, gold is liquid, private, and portable. Call now before your buying power shrinks even more dramatically. That's Midas Resources at 800-686-2237.
Are rising gas prices flattening your wallet? Try Royal Purple High Performance Motor Oil.
What? How's that?
Yes, independent tests by respected universities show Royal Purple reduces fuel consumption by as much as 5%. That means Royal Purple can deliver better gas mileage for a fatter wallet. Go to royalpurple.com for details. That's Royal Purple, the high performance motor oil that outperforms. Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us on our bulletin board system at freetalklive.com. It is free. There's over 130,000 posts there and more. It is all on the house. BBS.freetalklive.com. Get you right to it again. BBS.freetalklive.com. According to the BBC, electronically tagging passengers at airports could help the fight against terrorism, or so say scientists. The prototype technology is to be tested at an airport in Hungary and could, if successful, become a reality in 2 years. What are we talking about? A tag for people.
Very strange.
The work is being carried out at a new research center in London.
set up to find technological solutions to crime. Other projects include scanners for explosives and dirty bomb radiation. Dr. Paul Brennan, an electrical engineer, is leading the tagging product project known as UpTag. He said, quote, "The basic idea is that airports could be fitted with a network of combined panoramic cameras and RFID radio frequency ID tag readers, which would monitor the movements of people around the various terminal buildings. The plan," he said, "would be for each passenger to be issued a tag at check-in time."
Why do they need to track people like this? I mean, the only one we're worried about is the terrorist, right? The guy who's going to blow the airplane up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why it is. The issue wasn't on 9/11 wasn't airplanes getting blown up. I mean, more than one airplane has been blown up, and we didn't have to react in such a manner.
Sure.
The issue was that somebody flew airplanes into buildings. And I don't see how this tag reader thing is going to really have anything to do with that.
Well, I'm not sure either, but let's get their excuses first. He says, "In our system, a location can be detected to an accuracy of 1 meter, and video and tag data could be merged to give a powerful surveillance capacity. The tags, which don't store any data but emit a signal containing a unique ID which could be cross-referenced with passenger identification information. In the future," the doctor added, "that this could incorporate biometric data." That means fingerprints and retina scans and
mm-hmm.
stuff. "The project still needs to overcome some hurdles, such as finding a way of ensuring that the tags cannot be switched between passengers or removed without notification."
Oh, my God. You're not talking about just putting them in the tickets. They're making sure they can't be switched?
Well, that's what
mean?
They're trying to figure out how to do right
Stamp
now.
Stamp it in their neck.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the next step, right? I mean, if you can get people to voluntarily take a tag at the airport and hold on to it the entire time that they're there, it's only a difference of degrees between holding on to it and attaching it to yourself. Maybe like an ankle bracelet or something like that. Maybe we don't have to actually implant it in people to start with. I mean, because people will, the conspiracy theorists out there, and by the way, I believe they're absolutely right on this one. I mean, history so far, in the recent history, the last 10 years, has proven the fears of the conspiracy theorists correct. They absolutely are creating ways of tracking and tagging and monitoring people, and it's getting more oppressive than it ever has. So, are we going to start injecting people with RFID chips quite yet? No, that's down the road a bit. But an anklet? You know, one of those things that they get, for instance, when you're under home arrest or house arrest, probation, that sort of thing, and you're being tracked by the police, you get a little, you know, one of those little ankle bracelets. You can't take the sucker off.
Or how about a like one of the hospital bracelets, the ones that you know, kind of clamp on. They don't come
can't
off very
cut
easily.
Cut those suckers, really. You can't. Hospital bracelets, you can cut.
Yeah, you can cut them, but you could design it so that if it was cut, it would
set an alarm off or something and trigger the police running after you.
Beat you with billy clubs.
Right, and really, considering the docility of the American people today, and I presume the rest of the world, because this is actually being developed in Europe, not here. But considering the docility of people in airports, I don't see it as something that they would necessarily object to. I mean, they're already being searched. They're already walking through all kinds of different scanners. They're already being subject to the diktats and the orders of these officious TSA bureaucrat goons. And they're already bending over and doing whatever it is the government asks them to. I don't think it's too far out of line to suggest that the American people would, if they were told, when you come to get your ticket, "Well, here, Mr. Edge, before you can board the plane or before we can allow you into the secure waiting area, you're going to need to attach this anklet, this ankle bracelet to yourself."
How did we ever manage to survive flying on planes without all this security? I mean, I didn't realize it was such a dangerous operation.
The issue of infringement of civil liberties will also be key, but potentially, said Dr. Brennan, the tags could aid security by allowing airports to track the movement patterns of passengers deemed to be suspicious and prevent them from entering restricted areas. It can also aid airports by helping evacuation in the case of a fire, rapidly locating children, and finding passengers who are late to arrive at the gate. So there's plenty of good reasons to allow yourself to be chipped. You could help save a child, Mark.
Yeah, well, God knows I'd want to do that.
The proof of concept of the system is about to be tested at Debrecen Airport in Hungary. If successful, claimed the doctor, it could be available elsewhere within 2 years. And then the article goes on to discuss some of the other security tools that they're going to be testing, including bomb-sniffing devices. There's this reader. Look at this photo here, Mark, of this reader device. Does this thing look like the most Orwellian, scary machine? Does this big octagonal machine sort of looks like it's hanging down or up on this big pole or
towers
something.
Above you.
Yeah, it's just going to tower above you, and that's how it's going to locate you. It's going to shoot out essentially radio waves at these RFID chips and will track your every single movement. Is this frightening to you? 800-259-9231. Would you put an ankle bracelet on in order to travel in America? I mean, really, we've asked so many times as to what is the Americans, the straw on the camel's back? What is that final straw for
Americans? I don't think this is it. I'm not entirely, just looking at it, I'm not entirely scared of the idea that they would put RFID tracking bracelet on me.
I'm not scared of the idea per se. I think the whole concept is scary. The idea of the police state tracking individuals, watching people, and this is all just this sort of, they're sort of moving us towards this eventuality of a total police state in America. Just one little bit at a time. Just the frog in hot water situation. Oh, now it's just a bracelet. All you do is put it on your wrist. It's, look, we'll even make it look pretty for you. Bling bling, free bling at the airports, kids. So you get used to it, a little bit at a time, a little bit here, a camera there. And soon, they're going to be asking people to put cameras in their homes. Just got to protect the children. Maybe there'll be somebody who's abducting children around the country, and that'll give them the perfect excuse to suggest that families start putting cameras in their homes. And we should start putting cameras in sex offenders' homes, Mark. I don't think that one's very far off. How about that one for an idea? We can do anything to these guys.
I think that they would, that does sound like the sort of thing they'd want to do, but can you imagine how much it would cost to monitor sex offenders, all the sex offenders, all the time?
Cost is no object when we're protecting the children. Let's talk to Ray in Illinois. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Ray.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Oh, I just wanted to give you guys a little web site there on those spy chips, if you were interested. It's called spychips.com.
Okay.
And also, they've been already doing that with a lot of the materials that we buy from Walmart and different things like that.
Yeah, well, I don't have a problem with that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Do you realize there's nothing wrong with shipping products? I mean, that allows them to do inventory much more effectively and pass on those cost savings to the customers. So as far as industry applications of these things, RFID chips are a great idea.
Well, don't forget about our wonderful national ID cards.
Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing that up, Ray. And thanks for the website. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9241. They are talking about putting a RFID chip into the real ID cards, which are supposed to be coming out.
Of course, you have to have it with you all the time.
Sometime. We're going to give you more coming up. You take control. Hey, speaking of retail and Walmart, we've got something about them coming up. It is Free Talk Live.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right. The secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read one. Hi, I'm Steve Glick, CEO of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your whole family. Kids do better in school, teens can actually score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo is only available for a limited time. Call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-403-7311. That's 1-800-403-7311. 1-800-403-7311.
For centuries, Salk products have been known to help people stay well in body, mind, and spirit. Soleil Wellness is a unique company that scoured the world to find the best salt-based products to help you and your family. Safe, easy-to-use, environmentally friendly products that fit into any lifestyle, decor, and can be used by anyone at any age. Soleil Wellness has a unique selection of salt-based products. Not only Himalayan gourmet salt and healing bath salts, Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, ionizing salt crystal lamps, respiratory relieving salt pipes, pain relieving pillows, and more, all designed to keep you and your family balanced and well. Visit Soleil Wellness today, online at natural-salt-lamps.com. That's natural-salt-lamps.com. Or call 312-224-2710. That's 312-224-2710. Mention GC and Live for a free gift.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, and it is your show. If you take control of the airwaves, toll free, 800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark,
join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the Shrine of Female Listeners at shrine.freetalklive.com. Again, shrine.freetalklive.com. And you need to know that Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project's First 1000 Pledge. Are you just going to talk about freedom, or are you going to start living it now? Learn how the First 1000 Pledge can make it happen today at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. To Porcupine Steve in Minnesota, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Porcupine Steve. Porcupine Steve going once.
Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind, Steve?
I got to wear the bracelet.
You got to wear a bracelet?
Oh, yeah.
One of the tracking bracelets?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What do you mean?
Well, back when I was in Seattle, Washington, I was convicted of 2 minor possession of alcohol charges, and it was either 6 months in jail.
Possession of alcohol?
Yeah.
But why is that a charge?
Because in the state of Washington, if you're over 18 and under the age of 21, alcohol is a crime.
I see.
Okay, and each charge will carry roughly a 90-day sentence.
Okay.
All right, and since it was consecutive, it was more like 6 months in jail.
Wow. Well,
it took me 2.5 months to get on the bracelet, and roughly they told me if I get on the bracelet, I wouldn't get any good time, so I took the bracelet, went home, and did my thing, got a job. I was tracked throughout the whole thing. I was only let out at a certain time. You know what? This thing, if they're going to be tracking people out of the airports, you ain't going to be able to go outside of a certain amount of feet or yards or whatever through your destination.
I don't understand. You're not going to be able to go outside.
Well, he's going to say that he's saying that you're going to be required to stay within a certain perimeter of the airport.
Yes, exactly.
Well, right, because you've got their anklet on, their bracelet on. So
you're saying I couldn't come check into my flight, but before I, went any farther, say, I'm kind of hungry. I'm going to go out to a restaurant and then come back.
No, you couldn't do that.
That could be, but you would probably have to tell them where you were staying and where you were going and what your purpose was in that city. so that they could be able to let you be free at that certain amount of time.
I don't think they're going to let you go.
There's a certain amount of time.
I don't think they would want to let you go with the bracelet, although if you can't really get it off, then you're going to want to come back to get it off eventually. So,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
But either way, it's going to be a bureaucratic, slow, annoying process. And maybe they'll add some electric shock capability to the bracelet. That way, if you try to go, if you try to go outside of the specified zone that you are allowed to be in, then the bracelet will just shock you like a dog collar, sort of.
Well, how about just a really loud klaxon?
Well, you never know. You never know what the RFID chip could do.
Oh, that's just a chip. It just radiates RF waves, radio frequency waves.
It could still track you, though.
Oh, that's the purpose of it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Steve, any other thoughts on your mind?
Hey, go Free State Project. I hope to see you guys out in New Hampshire.
Looking forward to it, Steve. Thanks for the call, man. 800-259-9231. You know, the last caller in the last segment, Ray in Illinois, he mentioned that the RFID chips are being put into products. And I think a lot of people find this scary, and I'm not sure why. Because it's a great idea. I mean, really, from a retail perspective, and I've worked in retail in the past, I didn't work on the warehouse end or the stocking end of it, but I certainly understand, you know, you have a certain number of items on the shelf, there's a certain number of items in the stockroom, there's a certain number at the distribution warehouse, and
inventory is a big issue.
Inventory is huge, and they spend a lot of time and a lot of money on inventory. So these RFID chips going into products, going onto pallets, in some cases, they've gone so far as to putting them in individual products. But in some cases, they're just doing like a pallet level, and a pallet is this big wooden thing that sits in the back of the store with a bunch of products stacked on it. And so they sort of put this chip on there that identifies what is all on this pallet or what's in these boxes, and that way somebody with an RFID scanner can essentially scan the pallet, and then boop, right there in the system, they know exactly how many of everything is on that pallet. Nobody has to open boxes and count. Nobody has to spend all that time doing those things. And so therefore, since they can take that efficiency, save them a bunch of money. I mean, on a scale of Walmart, for instance, with stores everywhere, that's going to save maybe millions, if not $1 billion a year. That's
tremendous. There's not the level of error that there would be with people with little counters going through. And inventory is a big deal because if you have too much inventory, you've got essentially capital sitting there doing nothing. You know, not making you any money. You've got money sitting there,
yep,
not doing anything. And if you have too little, you're not making money because you're not selling it, and you're making your customers angry because if I go to Walmart to buy something that they should have at Walmart and they don't have it, I don't like that.
Also, one of the coolest ideas that I've heard about the RFID tags being in each item, and again, people are scared of this, and I'm not sure why, and if you can explain it, 800-259-9231, but I think it's a great idea. For instance, one of the most time-consuming, it's time-consuming as hell when you're at the checkout counter. You're behind five people, and they've all got a cart full of items. They have to unload every single item from the cart, and it's worse at grocery stores.
It is.
Unload every single item from the cart, put it on the conveyor belt. The conveyor belt rolls towards the cash register. The cashier takes each individual item, scans the UPC code, puts it in a bag, moves it through. You could save a lot of time if you could just point a scanner at the cart, shoot the cart with an RFID scan, and then immediately identify every single item placed in that cart.
Well, I think that there might be a problem there, but maybe it's something that they would just decide to, that it was worth the waste. But, you know, now and then products won't scan. An RFID chip will be faulty.
That's true.
Something wrong. So they're giving away something that didn't get scanned in that cart if they don't individually look at each product and then scan it. So I don't know whether your plan's entirely, whether it's really going to work. But yes, that would be great.
Well, if it's a high-ticket item, I mean, if it's a little item and it goes bad, no big deal, right? Especially if it's going to help you get more customers through the lines faster and not have them being angry because they're waiting too long. And you wouldn't have to hire more employees to run registers because you could move more customers through the same amount of registers that are open. So it might actually balance out and be well worth the occasional loss. And if it's a high-ticket item.
There's also waste with cashiers, too. I mean, sometimes they just miss items. It just happens.
Right. And if it's a high-ticket item, like a TV or something, you're going to know if that doesn't come up in the in the register. When you scan that in, it's going to show you all of the items that it has found in the cart. You can just sort of eyeball it.
At least the high-ticket ones you would see, you know, if it would line them up from highest ticket to lowest ticket, then you would see at the top of the list, plasma screen TV. if there was one there. And right. If there wasn't, you'd be like, where's the plasma?
And we're just a couple of talk show hosts. I mean, we don't know the ins and outs of this technology, and we don't know exactly how they could tweak it.
Or the retail business, for that matter.
And we don't know how they could tweak it to make it even more effective. So those are just some exciting ideas that RFID can be very useful for. This is not a negative technology. It's only negative when used for nefarious purposes, like tracking people. Anyway, with that in mind, Walmart, since we're talking about them, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania jury. Actually, we're going to hold off on this because somebody is on the line who thinks they're dangerous. Let's talk to Sam in Texas. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Sam.
Hey, guys. I think the reason people are resistant to them is because once you leave the store, the tags are still active.
So?
They're open to anybody that's got a reader that wants to find out your number. So once these things are in, like your shoes, your jeans, the wallet you bought, everything, people, how long would it be before consumer marketing companies pop up and tie your name and address to...
Your name and address isn't going to be on the RFID tag. These are tags that are for inventory purposes to identify products.
Yeah, but what happens when there's an RFID tag in every product and it stays active after you leave the store?
So what?
What's it going to be powered by?
No. It's powered by the...
There's no power. It just hits it with a radio frequency. It modulates it and sends it back and reads your number.
Are they going to be able to program this baby once it's going through the register? Are they going to be able to program the chip to say, with your credit card information, the information it gets off your credit card, your name, your address,
exactly.
Your social
store
number,
could
your
do that
type.
Why would they do something
to marketers? Because it'll make them money.
And then
these marketers could then take and set up readers in the mall, and you've got the same tracking. It's just by private companies, and who knows what they're going to do with it.
You're telling me that I don't know if I have a handle on this, and I want you to come back if you can. Sam in Texas, 800-259-9231. People want to talk about RFIDs. We've got calls rolling in here. They're scared of this stuff, and it doesn't make sense. I'm scared of the government using RFIDs to track and harm people and get.
I think Sam's got a point.
We'll see. We'll explore it a little more. Coming up, you take control of the airwaves as well. Bring up whatever's on your mind. That's why we call it Free Talk Live, 800-259-9231.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals.
Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At researchedherbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplements for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. Allows you to take control of the airwaves and bring up virtually anything. It is your show, and that's why we call it Free Talk Live. 1-800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website, by the way, freetalklive.com. Everything on the site is totally free, so we do ask that you voluntarily support us by shopping with us. Two ways to shop. One, if you want to buy Free Talk Live stuff like T-shirts and hats, and we got a flag there, classic archives on DVD collection sets. You'll find that at store.freetalklive.com. That's store.freetalklive.com. And for all of your other shopping needs, whether it be furniture, grocery, whether it be electronics, DVDs, books, we want you to go to amazon.freetalklive.com. That is amazon.freetalklive.com. And the reason is because when you enter Amazon through that link, Free Talk Live gets a percentage of your purchase. So whether it's medical supplies or clothing, baby stuff, you name it, it's there. And we'll get a percentage if you go to amazon.freetalklive.com. As we return to the phones, we go back to Sam in Texas. You're back on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Okay.
All right, so Sam, let me see if I understood you correctly since we were sort of running short on time in the last segment. You are saying that these RFID tags that are being placed into products that we're purchasing, we're going to Walmart, grabbing stuff off the shelf, they're going to have these RFID tags in them. So theoretically, they could scan the whole card at the checkout, and you wouldn't have to actually put stuff up onto the register or whatever. There's some benefits here. But you're saying the negative side is that they could somehow attach your identity to the tag, and then marketers could scan you and send you spam or something like that?
I think it would be a little bigger than that. And I'd say yes, there are very good uses for it. And I would be absolutely fine with it if the next, piece of the store I went through actually deactivated all the tags. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have any problem. That would be, you know, perfect use. But once these information brokers are able to tie these tags to my personally identifiable information,
yeah,
and say they're in my genes, they could sell this information and figure out what products I'm buying, what stores I'm shopping at, where I'm going, because anybody can set up a reader. So these could be in public places. They could, you know, offer them kind of like Coke machines and then give the vendors who allow the readers to be set up in their stores a discount, for example.
Well, one way to handle this, I understand where you're coming from on this, and you're probably, I think he's making a point here. They could very well program.
They could.
I don't know how they could program these RFID chips, but let's say they could do it. They just program them, blam. They find out that who you are, and then all that information goes into a database like Equifax or TransUnion and some company that collects this information and
yeah,
then sells it to other companies that want to know marketing information on people. Then essentially they have all that info. Then how far is the government from getting that info? And, you know, I mean, well, you bought too many Sudafed tablets.
Yeah, the government can be just another client to these information brokers.
Right, and the and obviously this information is important. Otherwise, grocery stores wouldn't have these discount cards that I hate so much. Why in the world I want to, because I've shopped at your grocery store, I want to carry around some little piece of plastic at like your servant all the time.
A good thing to do with those is actually to trade with people online, and it really screws up the data mining that they do.
Right. Well, in this case, with the case of the RFID tags, they couldn't do anything about cash transactions, right? So if you were buying the stuff, they wouldn't know who you are, so therefore they couldn't input the information into your clothes or anything like that.
True, that
so
would cash, be anonymous.
Cash would be a way around it. Also, if you were buying, and the data would get messed up eventually, especially if you were using your wife's credit card or something like that, or maybe even switching the products that you buy afterwards. But also, I think that we don't really have to be too concerned about it, because if people are really outraged by this sort of activity, then customer or the businesses in these cases would stop doing it. I mean, if people are outraged by the fact that Walmart or whoever is allegedly selling their information to these marketers, then people can boycott Walmart, and then Walmart will decide not to do these things. And
Can I counter that, Ian?
Yeah, but sure. But as of yet, I haven't seen any actual plans to do anything like this, except from the mouths of the anti-RFID crowd.
So I'd like to point out spam, and it's really been traced back to the major corporations that are originating a lot of it. They do it by, you know, laundering it through four or five different companies, and they claim that they know nothing about it.
What are you talking about?
No, spam. Spam's mostly penis enlargements and drugs and
some of the mortgage financing, refinancing home loans.
They're just that's just not true. These guys are brokers. They get a commission off of any loan that goes through them. There's no reason why they wouldn't just spam out as much as they possibly can, just so that they can get a little spiff if somebody clicks through. Please don't click through on those things, because I'm sick of getting them. And every time you click through on one of those, it causes me to get more. No, I don't. I disagree with the spam.
Yeah, the idea that major companies are using spam is kind of silly.
But I do agree with you that obviously companies do want this information that you're talking about, and RFID chips are going to make it easier for them to get this info. And then
also,
how long is it until the government gets it, and why does the government need it? And they certainly do love all the information they can possibly get.
And I'd like to point out a real market-based example of one company bucking the trend and using the fact that they don't track their customers as a reason to shop there. Where we come from, Publix, it's a huge grocery chain in the Southeast in America, great chain. They actually advertise that, hey, you don't need a card to get the sale prices at Publix. That's one of their features now. So the fact that these other guys are using the cards, Publix has used that as a feature. You come shop with us, we'll protect your privacy. So let the market decide is what I say. And thank you for the call, Ray. We appreciate hearing from you.
I think that's an easy answer.
What now?
I think that's an awfully easy answer.
It's an awfully real answer. That's what's happening. Now, of course, around here, I think everybody's got cards. Then again, I haven't been to Hannaford's, but I think they've got one, too.
Just about everybody's got cards, but yeah. And I hate carrying the things around. I hate membership cards, people.
You can lie on the form.
No. I don't care about the information. They can have the information. They can find out all the things that I buy at the grocery store. I don't want to have to carry around this little card that you've given me because so that I can get a slightly cheaper price. That makes me your indentured servant. I hate that crap.
Have you complained?
To whom?
To the company.
How?
Call the management.
Look, the management's got to know that nobody wants to carry around, or that some people don't want to carry around these cards.
Maybe they don't know. Maybe everybody's just complaining about it to their friends and family members, but they aren't actually telling the store.
Well, that's the store's fault for not being plugged in and doing focus groups.
I understand focus groups are important, but
they're
I also think
down our throats, Ian.
I also think that the individual consumers have to take responsibility for themselves, and if they don't like the way a business is being run and they feel like they don't have any other options, they should speak up about it. I understand you've got a talk show, but most people don't. Let's go to Tom in Indiana. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Ian, I wanted to echo what Sam said and clarify something. How long do you think it would be till the government gets a hold of your credit card records, which if they don't already have them, and then when you go to Walmart and buy that pack of Gillette blades and walk through the airport, they know it's you.
Mm-hmm. So the problem's with the government, right? Not the Walmart.
Well, no, I know you're enamored with the fact that the inventory is a lot faster with this card, with this chip, but the problem is the fact that the chip can be used over and over and over again by anybody who wants to use it. So if you gave personally identifiable information when you paid for a product, that information stays with you as long as you own that product.
Well, presuming they somehow, presuming they do what the last caller suggested, and they somehow, I guess, insert that information into the chip at the point of sale. Otherwise, it's just a chip identifying what the product
is. Well, no, it's a number in a database. You know, if you buy package 12345 and that shows up in the airport tomorrow, then they can reasonably assume that package 12345 is, you know, is you.
Right.
And if you have multiple things, which they can correlate, you know, if you have 20 products on you in your clear plastic bag, they're gonna know it's you.
Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm buying something sensitive, I'll buy with cash. I'm not too concerned.
Well, that's true. That takes a lot of cash, and you're gonna have those CTRs filed on you.
All right, man. Well, thank you for the input. Any other thoughts?
No, I love your show. Thank you very much. I hope you're in Indy 5 days a week.
We're working on it, Tom. Okay. Thank you for the call. Thank you. 800-259-9231. I don't know. I mean, I'm the first person to be concerned about the government. And in the case of his example, yeah, well, the government's the problem there. So let's get the government cut down to size, and then it won't be an issue anymore, will it? I don't care if Walmart knows what I buy. I don't mind. Just send me a coupon. Doesn't bug me. Let's talk to Johnson in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live.
I don't see how we're going to stop it either.
Ian and Mark.
Marketing is certainly the least of the problems.
Okay.
Well, one of the things is, for example, there's a plan, supposedly, especially starting with the euro, to embed RFIDs in the currency. So cash transactions, not really going to get you out of it. And then,
How would they know that the...
still wouldn't know it was
from
you.
Would they reprogram each bill every time they gave it to me? That doesn't make
no
sense.
No, that's ludicrous. That
they track it. It's sort of like, have you ever seen that Where's George website?
Yeah, right. But that doesn't mean that they know who had it.
Well, the reason they're going to do that...
I have all sorts of more.
Okay, hang on. The reason they're going to do that, the one you suggested, we're going to come back to you, but the reason they're going to do that is so they can scan somebody's house or car and see if there's a bunch of cash there. That way they can rob their house and steal their money like they like to do so much. That's the reason for that. And, of course, it's despicable. Hour 3 is on the way. You take control. It is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327. Ha!